Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Joe Forrest here on Love Sport Radio for the Southampton Fan Show. Joined tonight by Steve Grant from the Total Saints podcast. Good evening, Steve.
Good evening.
So Steve Grant's with us as well. And we've also got Ben Stroud with us from the Archers Road End Southampton blog. Ben, how are you doing?
I'm good, Joe. How are you? You all right?
Do you know what? I'm very, very good. I'm excited to talk all things Southampton for the next half an hour. Let's start with your boss saying that St Mary's must become a fortress, saying that Southampton need to become nasty to play against. I suppose the question at the heart of all of this is, why can Southampton not do it at home?
I mean, I think that's a really good question. I think it's a combination of factors, really. I think this is kind of monkey on our backs kind of grown for about the past two or three seasons, and I think it's partly performances and partly kind of insecurity around insecurity and fear amongst the fans, because it's difficult once that kind of sets in. It's quite tough to shift, really. It takes one kind of set to try and move towards the other, and at the moment it seems like the players aren't performing, and it sounds like the fans aren't really backing the team as much either.
Let me ask you, Steve, as well, because Ben mentioned the fans there. Ralph Hasenhüttl said sometimes it's a little difficult to play at home against Burnley. Everyone expects that we're 3-0 up after 10 minutes. It's hard to show this. It's a pressure the guys aren't used to carrying. He's suggesting, or implying, I suppose, because you can't really say it, that perhaps it's the fans that make it difficult for the team at home. Do you think that's fair?
Yes and no. I mean, I think there are certain aspects of that kind of view that I think are reasonable. Certainly when the team kind of needs a lift, I think quite often the fan base as a kind of general sort of group at St Mary's kind of wants to be more reactive as opposed to proactive. But I mean, it's a two-way street for me. I think while the players should be entitled to expect the support of the fans, I don't think it's necessarily down to the fans to kind of drive everything. It's kind of got to be a little bit of give and take. And ultimately, I think actually it's more the style of play that kind of the formations and the systems that we're more comfortable playing are better suited to playing away from home against teams who, obviously as the home side, you're generally set up to be the more proactive and attack-minded team. So we go away from home against a kind of middle-of-the-road opponent. Mm. Say Crystal Palace is a prime example. That game, a month or so ago, we go to Selhurst Park and we just absolutely play them off the park, because Palace are supposed to make the run in, and they try and kind of go forward a little bit, but then that leaves us loads of space going back the other way for us to exploit. Whereas when we're playing at home against a similar side, the opposite is true, in that we're supposed to be on the front foot right from the very first whistle, and a lot of the teams that we're playing against will come to St Mary's, know that we struggle against teams that stick men behind the ball and counter at pace, And that's exactly what they do. And then everyone acts surprised that we can't break them down.
But Steve, is this a question of finding a different way to play? Because I suppose Hasenhüttl's philosophy has come good in the last 3 months, hasn't it? And Southampton have been really one of the form teams in the division. So now, as all good teams find, once your first, or I suppose your premier style of play gets found out or gets worked out, so for you guys it's obviously it's that pressing game and the counter-attack away from home, does Hasenhüttl now need to look at himself and find another way to play and perhaps look at how he plays around teams that do sit deep?
Yeah, potentially. I mean, there's been countless examples of managers who have had kind of a really good plan A that's worked really, really well up until the point at which it doesn't. Mm. And then they've kind of struggled a little bit to find an alternative. I mean, Mauricio Pochettino was very, very similar in his time with us, in that the system that he had, basically, if it worked for the first hour or so, and we got ourselves in front in a game, then you would have the utmost confidence that we'd be able to see that game out and we'd win the game. If we struggled in that first hour and we weren't winning, you knew we had absolutely no chance that we were going to rescue the situation, because there was no concept of, oh, we're going to try something different. Mm. All it was basically, oh, right, okay, well, we're going to play the same system, but I'm going to change this player for this player and see if that person can kind of conjure up something a little bit different. And that kind of feels a little bit where we are at the moment, now that we've struck upon a system and a formation that largely works for us. The players certainly seem fairly comfortable playing it, but the problem comes when you come up against a side who matches you and kind of does enough to put you off your stride. You need to kind of come up with an alternative. And I mean, I guess our issue at the moment, we've got a number of injuries to our sort of more creative players. Obviously, Redmond's out for at least a month. Bufal's not going to be available until probably next week at the earliest, by the sounds of it. So you're putting an awful lot of pressure on Moussa Gineppo to come up with the goods, pretty much on his own, and then maybe with a little bit of help from the likes of Ward-Prowse and Højbjerg, and a little bit from open play and set pieces. But it doesn't. Yeah, you kind of think the manager's got to come up with something, but it's difficult because realistically your plan B, you're not going to be using it for more than probably half an hour in the game, I wouldn't have thought.
And Ben, I suppose the Burnley result kind of bears out exactly what Steve's saying, doesn't he? Because if you're playing at home, people are going to tend to sit behind the ball a little bit more. No team is more liable to sit behind the ball and defend and kind of wait to counter on you than Burnley are. What did you make of that defeat?
Well, I think obviously it's gutting. I think this team, you know, what Steve said about plan B is spot on. But then you look at a team like Burnley and they don't have a plan B either, really, mm. do they? I think you have a coach who, you know, show me a coach who has an effective plan B and I'll show you probably someone who manages one of the champion, you know, the top six or Champions League sides all across Europe. That's where they go. We're not in that market, unfortunately. Hasenhüttl was a good manager, but he has this kind of one style of play, and it's disappointing because it's been twice, really. It's been two times with us that really, we've had our trousers pulled down by Burnley. They know exactly how we play, and they're able to counter it effectively, and we really struggle to break down those kinds of teams, and I think that's ultimately what it comes down to at home. Teams come, they sit back, and they say break us down and conserve their energy, hit us on the break, and I think that we're really prone to that, especially when we kind of play players like Vestergaard who don't really have any pace. So, you know, we can get hit quite quickly if we're, you know, and kind of left kind of quite exposed. So it was incredibly disappointing. I think we played well in spells. It was a game that was obviously affected by the weather. But yeah, I think that Burnley had a game plan and they executed it better than us, and that's what it, you know, that's what it came down to on the day.
And Ben, Southampton have conceded 30 goals in their 13 home league games this season. So it looks like the defence, potentially at home, is an issue as well. Would you have liked to see Hasenhüttl address that maybe on the training pitch during the mini winter break, whatever we're now calling it, this kind of little two-week hiatus that we get in January, February? Okay, I know there was an FA Cup replay in the midst of that as well, but it's disappointing that maybe that isn't something that appears to have been worked on.
Well, I think that it's difficult to work on it, really, because when you look at it and you think, well, apart from Jack Stevens, who's had a decent season, and you know, and Bednarek's not been too bad, we don't have quality in those positions. We just don't have the quality, and when you have that, when you don't have that sort of quality of player, you know, we can talk about. I mean, our record, you know, we've conceded more goals now. The only team that have kind of conceded more goals at this stage of the season than us, I think, was kind of, this is my stato head on, I think it was Ipswich in 1963.
Lovely.
They conceded 31 by this stage. But the problem is that, you know, Stevens is a good player, but prone to lapses of concentration. Bednarek is getting better, but he gets caught on his heels so often, and he can get turned very easily. He just gets caught flat-footed, which is why so many of his fantastic, you know, if you were looking at a defensive compilation, loads of his compilations are blocks because he's been caught out of position and he's bombing it back, trying to throw himself in front of the ball. Yes, I'm sure he would. I'm sure that Hasenhüttl would have loved to have, invested a bit of time in improving that defence, and I'm sure that he does. But I just don't. I think the sad thing is, we just aren't very good at defending because we don't have very good defenders.
Listen, Southampton fans, we're still going to be with you in a few moments' time here on Love Sport Radio, looking ahead to that massive game against Villa coming up at the weekend.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
The Southampton Fans Show on Love Sport with ImpactSports.uk, the latest power brand for CBD.
This is Love Sport.
18 minutes past 8, me, Joe Forrester, here on the Southampton Fans Show. If you want to get in touch, at Love Sport Radio is the way to do it on social media, or you can give us a ring, or indeed send us a WhatsApp message if you're one of those techno whiz kids on 0208 70 20 558. I'm still here with Ben Stroud from the Archers Road End Southampton blog and Steve Grant from the Total Saints podcast. Villa at home, up next for Saints. Steve, let's start with you. You mentioned it earlier. No Nathan Redmond, of course. Sofyan Boufal also out. No Carl Walker-Peters. How do you fancy your chances against Villa?
Well, I mean, ultimately, Villa are still not very good, with the very notable exception of Jack Grealish, who I think has been better than, I think, even the sort of wildest dreams of any Villa fan this season. I think he's probably even outperformed what they'd have expected. But ultimately, he can't carry that team on his own, as proven in the reverse game the week before Christmas when we went up there. And I mean, it was 3-1, and it could have been 6 or 7. To be honest, it was that one sided. Villa defensively are in absolute shambles, and this is, I mean, obviously this is despite them having spent a small fortune in the summer and topping it up a little bit in January as well. And for whatever reason, they've just not been able to get any sense of sort of defensive organisation at all, which. Sounds very familiar, actually, doesn't it? But I think there's been a lot of talk about them doing a Fulham, sort of with reference to spending all the money last year and then still sort of collapsing in a heap and going straight back down. They've got a little bit of a chance solely on the basis of Grealish. But I think if we can stop the supply line to him, then, I mean, their defence is going to give us chances. Mm. And Ings and Long will sort of pull them this way and that and create so much space for both each other and also any of the midfielders who fancy getting in on the act and sort of ghosting into space, because they leave so much room. Doesn't appear to be any concentration in that back four at all. So I think, and regardless of which way it goes, I think it's going to be high scoring.
Ben, what do you think? I mean, is it as simple as stop Jack Grealish, stop Villa?
Well, I think they've got a couple of extra. I mean, I think that John McGinn's obviously a very, very good player. Grealish is someone who has performed, you know, as Steve said, has performed fantastically well this season. I think that's actually a pretty fair kind of summation of the situation. I think that I think the Villa are a team who are, their coach, you know, he's very similar in style to us. That they don't really have a plan B, and, you know, defence doesn't really seem to be their forte. So I think we're going to see a bit of a goal fest on Saturday. Two teams that aren't very good at drawing. I think we're two of the teams who've got the lowest amount of draws in the league. So I definitely see it going one way or the other on Saturday. Fingers crossed, obviously for us. And you know, like you said as well, with kind of Shane forcing mistakes out of defenders, which he's really good at, and you know, Danny Ings feeding off of him so well, there's always a chance for us to score, and that's what they did. That's what we did up at Villa Park, and that's what I think we can do today. No, on Saturday even. But yeah, the injuries haven't helped. You know, having essentially three injuries happen in the Burnley game is a bit of a worry, if I'm honest.
Do you know what? Now that we've predicted a goal fest, cue a drab 0-0 draw last on Match of the Day. It's always the way.
Well, it'll be a home clean sheet.
Yeah, that's something. That would be.
Yeah,
that
many of them.
I take not losing. I take not losing sometimes. You know, I'd love to win, but, you know, I'm a Saints fan at heart. So you always start at the base of I take not losing.
But Ben, it's an interesting next few games for you, isn't it? So Villa at home, West Ham away, Newcastle at home, Norwich away. You've got to think, come through these four games. Well, I don't know. I don't know what unscathed would be, but come through these four games with a decent set of results, and that's got to be safety guaranteed, and then looking upwards, right?
I think it's just got to be all about thinking about let's get to safety and then let's see what we can do for next season. I don't think it, you know, I kind of don't like to think too far ahead, because this season has been so variable. You know, you can be, you know, and teams seem to be putting streaks together out of nowhere, whether it's a kind of streak of fantastic form that, you know, like we were on in, you know, kind of towards later end of December and January, you know, and then following that up with kind of, you know, long streaks of kind of losses and draws. It's been a very strange season in that sense. I think that anyone outside of the top, outside of the top six, really been much of a muchness. I think let's get to 36 points, or let's get to 40 points, and then have a think about next season. But that's kind of got to be our focus. Very worried about West Ham, because we always seem to kind of, you know, turn up there in body but not in spirit and get turned over.
Believe me, talking to West Ham fans recently, as worried as you are about West Ham, you're not as worried as they are, let me tell you. Let's talk transfer targets. Some interesting rumours coming out. I must admit, none of these players are particularly on my radar. Ascoli's Gianluca Scamacca, Spezia's Martin Ehrlich, and Sparta Rotterdam's Abdu Harori. Now, listen, guys, I don't expect you guys to have a fact pack on any of these lads because I did have to Google them carefully. But apparently these are all young starlets that Hasenhüttl might be looking to bring in over the summer, potentially showing some of the club's bigger earners the door and going back to, I suppose, the transfer policy that Southampton are most known for, developing that young talent and polishing the rough diamonds, the likes of, similar to, I suppose, what happened with Sadio Mane, Morgan Schneiderlin, players like that. Would you like to see those kind of young players come in a revisiting of that youth policy?
Yeah, I think that's ultimately the way the club sees themselves as kind of being a sort of finishing ground, if you like, for young talent. I think there's always a deeper sense of satisfaction when you've kind of moulded a player into your style, and then whether they stick around or not. I mean, generally they don't, but it's kind of more satisfying to see them kind of blossom in that environment, and especially if you've got a handful of them who kind of develop together at the same time and kind of give the club, I mean, kind of sort of intangible success, I guess you'd put it, because I mean, we're not necessarily competing for trophies every season. But I think if you're producing a team that people will actually want to come and watch, which we've kind of struggled with the last two or three years, let's be honest about it, then it's going to get people more excited, and I think that portrays well on the club. It's a better look than signing sort of players over the age of 30 on massive wages who are kind of on the way down in their career and kind of might not be sort of that invested kind of emotionally in the progress of either the club or themselves, because they've been there and done it all, and all they're doing is looking for a last payday. You want players who are hungry to either achieve or to push on in their career, and the only way they do either of those is by being good and improving. I mean, similar to what I was saying last week about Hasenhüttl. If at the end of the day, if he or any of the players are being seriously looked at by the bigger clubs and they're looking to come and sort of pick them off of us, then we must be doing something right. And it's a hell of a lot better to be in that situation than what we've had the last few years, where nobody wants any of our players because they've all been rubbish. So you kind of have to accept your position in the food chain at the moment, I think.
And Ben, let me ask you, I know we don't want to look ahead. I know we don't want to say, OK, Southampton are safe and it's a big few games coming up. But when the summer does roll around, is there anybody that, let's put it nicely, you would like to see move on to pastures new to maybe make way for new talent?
Well, I think the club's done quite well in getting kind of Cedric across to Arsenal. And obviously, kind of, you know, Yoshida wasn't going to get a new contract, so moving him on. I'm not going to talk about Vestergaard again, or otherwise some people will. I don't want people to think that I've got anything specific against him. I don't. I just think he's probably one of the worst signings we've ever made defensively.
But Guido Carrillo says, "Hold my beer."
Yeah. So we've got. We've made some terrible signings. We've got Carrillo, want to get out of the door, as Steve said. We've got Wesley Hoot, we probably want to get out of the door. You know, we've got Lamina, who's a fantastic talent, but just completely kind of, you know, there's something not quite clicking there for him. So we really need to be looking at getting those players out. And I think, yes, it's great if we can get these young players in as well, but it's always a lot about you know, getting the blend right in the squad. I think that these players, I think that we need to look at, I think that Hasenhüttl will be looking at the squad and going, like, who's a leader here? Who's someone who can, you know, the squad can rally around, because we've been at our best when we've had a strong leader in the dressing room as well. And barring Højbjerg, I'm not really, and I'm on the fence about that. I don't trust people who are about their contract. I'd just like to see someone there being a leader for all the young players.
Nice one, chaps. It's been really good fun. It's been brief, but it's been great fun hanging out with you. Ben Stroud from the Archers Road End Southampton blog. Thank you very much. Steve Grant from the Total Saints podcast. Up next, Charlie Hawkins talking Birmingham City. I'll be on Love Sport London talking Watford.
Love Sport.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.